I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Thanks for hanging in there, guys, as we get some of these things figured out. And let's dive right into roll call.
Faye Gallant?
Here.
Nate Bauer?
Here.
Chris Becks? Chris Becks?
Okay.
Evelyn Pinsgord?
We had her on the show.
She was here.
Chad Olson? Leslie Walls?
Here.
Melody Hughes? Allie Englert?
Here.
Jessica DeRochers, in proxy for Jamie Warwick. Jesse Atencio. Sue Mitchell.
Here.
Mercedes Anderson.
Here.
Chris Brooks. He was on the hangout. Jane Gross. Jane Grossclose?
Here.
Matthew Munn?
Here.
Kim Eames? Susie Fry? She was on the hangout. Stacey Haldeshill?
Here.
Brandy Marrero?
Here.
Jessica Armstrong?
Here.
Gina Jala? Jessica McCallum? Brad Crick?
Here.
Janelle Merrifield?
Here.
Phil Jacobs?
Here.
Connie Huizinga? Selena Brown? Trish Winters?
Here.
Jim Jones? Anybody whose name I did not call?
There's been a couple messages talking about how faint the sound is and that they can't hear.
Quorum is met.
Okay, we have quorum. Sorry, guys, on the hangout, I think. Can you hear me better than you could hear Nicole? If you want to just type in the chat again. We got you, Evelyn. Thank you.
I'm going to hang up and call back in.
Okay, good luck. Okay. So if needed, I'll just relay messages. So just keep letting us know if you can't hear.
Can we turn up the mic gain on the, I assume the mic there at the laptop is the input for the hangout? Can the mic gain on that be turned up?
They're turned up.
Those are the speakers, though. Okay, so our first item here is the approval of today's agenda. Do I have a motion?
I move.
Okay, we have a few, or second. Thanks. A few quick changes on item D, approval of minutes. Instead of 263, it should be 261 and 262. Any other additions or changes? Okay. Any opposition? All right. We have an agenda. So approval of minutes from meeting 261. Can we do these together at the same time?
I think we just put them on the agenda together. So yeah.
Okay. So 261 and 262. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Thanks, Sue. Second?
Second.
Thanks, Trish. Any additions or corrections? Okay, any opposition to approving these minutes? Okay, thank you guys. I don't see anyone for public comment in the room. Peggy, you're not commenting, right? Okay. Is there anyone for public comment online? Or on the phone? Okay. Status of pending actions. On the leave share resolution, as we talked about last meeting, the president had approved our changes and sent them to the chief human resources officer to take action. The revised regulations, which correct the problems that we were concerned of, they do a great job. They deal with kind of both the intermittent issue and the bereavement issue. They're just circulating for any final comment now, but they did kind of tick every box on our list without adding any complications or problems. We had a few small questions for them from Staff Alliance, but pretty minor issues. I will email those out to the group just so you can see where we're at with that. But I expect that they'll be moving forward soon. Since they're a regulation and not policy, they don't have to go to the board. So we should be hopefully seeing those finalized in the next few weeks. On item B, the Staff Alliance Task Force, we have Staff Alliance tomorrow. So I'm going to attempt to reinvigorate that and see if we can't actually get some movement on that, because I do think it was an important issue looking at the difference between the review process and the grievance process in, with the changes to the layoff policy that we saw in the spring. And so we want to make sure that doesn't just drop off the radar altogether. So we'll look at that tomorrow. Any questions on that one? Okay, on the resolution requesting staff council involvement in selecting the new UAF chancellor, we talked about this at pre-staff with Mike and Kari, and they're looking at forming the search committee fairly soon, looking at getting started on that, and they'll let us know once they get a little bit more progress moving in that direction, but it did sound encouraging. That we'd have a seat on it. So, and then on the staff volunteer day proposal and resolution, Nate?
Yeah, sure. So we brought that up in pre-staff with Interim Chancellor Powers, and there's obviously support, I think, from, you know, Chancellor Rogers signed that before he left, and Faye and I had a chance to speak about it in front of the cabinet, and since then, he's signed that, the proposal, he's approved it, and forming a group to implement it, to discuss the issues and the process of implementing it and rolling it out. So we will be, staff council will be heavily involved, if not leading that group on the implementation of the volunteer day. So, yeah.
Can I speak up?
Sure. Yeah, is this any better?
Much better.
Okay, sorry. So basically, Chris, I was just kind of saying that staff council will be heavily involved, if not leading, the chancellor's committee to make determinations and roll out the particulars of the volunteer day, how that will be how that will be implemented. Those are the developments since our last meeting.
All right. Any questions on any of the pending actions? Okay, so going right on into officers' reports, I think we'll be pretty quick on these, and then we'll be back on schedule. So sorry again for the delay this morning. No, it's fine. So first up on mine, you guys might have seen this morning, we started getting a few spam messages to the listservs. Don't approve those if you happen to be a moderator on one of those listservs. Nicole's taking care of them. But just if you see a strange message in your inbox asking you to approve a listserv message, please don't for now. I think we just got spammed a bit. So, next up, this Thursday and Friday is the Board of Regents meeting in Juneau. They will be doing their initial review of the FY17 budget request from the university. So I would encourage you to watch. You can, if you just Google UABOR, it brings up the Board of Regents as the first search result. And if you click into agendas, you can click on the September meeting and go into Board Docs and see the agenda and all the attachments, which I would encourage you to do for every Board of Regents meeting, to at least take a look at the agenda and the attachments. There are a few neat things, like the chancellor's report is always included there, and you can see kind of what the chancellor is putting forward to the Board of Regents as some of our big accomplishments or highlights, as well as the governance reports. So, and you can live stream those as well. And I'll be there on Thursday morning giving the SEF Alliance governance report. Tomorrow, Nate and I will be at Staff Alliance, and as I mentioned, we'll be picking up on a couple of those other issues that haven't seen much movement over the summer, reviewing the grievance process versus the review process, and also we have two new committees out of Staff Alliance, one looking at the governance process. Can you hear me okay online? Sorry. Okay. So on the one new committee looking at the governance process, which is when we're asked to review things, making sure that we have enough time to review them properly and to give real feedback, and also that what we're reviewing is as close to final as possible so we don't have any surprises like we did with the furlough policy, which is when we had helped craft the policy and were happy with it and as good as it could be. And then when the final came out without any word to us, it was missing a pretty important cap on the number of furlough days. So wanting to really work with the administration and with the new president, Jim Johnson, to make sure that we have a very robust and functional governance review process. So a new committee for that, and then also a new one looking at staff morale, with the understanding that we are the voice for staff at the university, and since people are talking about staff morale issues, we want to be able to voice the actual staff opinion on staff morale. As much as there is any one staff opinion, I think we have very diverse perspectives on it, but we need to be able to articulate that. And I think we can't do that without talking to staff and asking staff. But we want to make sure that when issues of staff morale are discussed by the leadership, that we're able to really articulate it from a staff perspective. So hopefully that committee will get up and running too. They were just formed last month. And then finally, out of our pre-staff discussion, we asked about the Planning and Budget Committee for next year. Basically just articulated the value of having a staff council representative on that committee for kind of the exchange of information both ways. One, so we could share the staff perspective on these items, but also so that we can communicate out to staff how that process works and what the discussions and priorities are. And both Interim Chancellor Powers and Vice Chancellor Kari Burrell were very supportive of that and said when the committee does get up and going again, there will be a staff council seat. She's expecting in the spring semester. All right. Any questions for me?
I did have a quick question about the spam is actually more of a hack that our department is really heavily being attacked by. And I just want to know if other departments are being attacked or have seen it's pretty much accessing your contact list and then sending out that same exact message to everybody, and the names and emails don't always match. But has anybody else experienced that at all?
Folks online, that was Matthew saying this spam on the listserv is a hack that his department has been hit heavily by, and is wondering if anyone else has as well. Yeah, one?
I'm a moderator on list, and it's also happened this morning.
Okay, so we're seeing it on other listservs as well. So.
Right, when I reported to OIT like last week, they didn't really seem to like think that anybody else was affected by it. So it was very much like, oh, okay, thanks. And they said they fixed it, but haven't. And I noticed one of my alums, American University, is also being hit by it because it went out to all kinds of listeners through an alum account. So anyways, I think it's just more widespread in people. If you see it, please report it to OIT so that they can realize it's a bigger thing than just one or two people.
Great. Okay, so yeah, the takeaway from that, people online, is that if you are getting hit with this spam on listservs, it seems to be particularly on listservs, but if you're getting hit with any spam, really, please contact OIT, because the more they hear about these, the more they understand the scope of the problem and can work to address it. Okay.
So Faye, am I correct in understanding, or have you been elected as chair for Staff Alliance?
Yes, I have.
Congratulations and condolences.
Thanks. Yeah, that's the appropriate response.
but thank you for representing staff at Board of Regents.
Thank you.
And may I also ask, who was elected vice chair?
Monique, which is excellent. Yeah, so Monique has been the chair of Staff Alliance for the last year and has been fantastic and is an impossible act to follow, really. But she wanted to take a half step back, so she'll be vice chair this year, and I'll be leaning on her heavily, I'm sure. So, all right. So that's all from me, Nate.
Yeah, I don't have a lot, and I think Faye covered most of it. I would reiterate what Brad said. I'm thankful and happy that Faye's representing us, representing UAF as chair of Staff Alliance. I think that we're lucky as an organization to have to have her there in that role. I think it's going to be good for Staff Alliance and also good in particular for UAF. I would also echo what Faye said about attention that all of us can pay as individual members of staff council to regions meetings, the one obviously coming up this week, and then November's in Anchorage, and the next Board of Regents meeting in Fairbanks is in December. So I think that just about every venue that we find ourselves in where we're receiving input about how staff council can be effective and useful, I think that we hear about the opportunity for us to, as individual staff members, to speak before the Board of Regents, and I think that it's important that we think about how to take advantage of those opportunities. So again, just to have the December meeting on your radar, I think is important. That's about all I have.
Okay, so we have staff achievements and highlights. Chris Brooks, sorry, we're trying to strike a balance between speaking into the mic closely enough so that you can hear us and then not so close that it's muffled. I think this meeting will be a good learning experience for all of us in how to run these hangouts better. So thanks for bearing with us. Anybody have anything for staff achievements and highlights? No? Okay. Last month was so good that that I suppose we can go one without. I'm thinking I'm going to try and wrap a couple of them into our governance report to the board. The other universities haven't been as proactive at kind of getting some of these highlights out there and up through governance. So I want to be careful not to just go up and give the UAF report, but I think in particular that measuring of Denali was really great. So thank you, Sue, for sharing that one. That was incredibly cool. Yep. Thank you. Leslie, could you email me that link if you have it? If not, no worries. I'm sure I can Google it. But if you send it to me, even better. Thanks. All right.
I'd also say, for folks, you know, I know we have some new members, and I'm not sure we mentioned it with clarity. If you know, I know it's hard to go a month and try and remember experiences or other folks around you that have achieved special things. So as those things come up, as they happen, you know, over the next month, things that you'd like to have highlighted in terms of staff achievements and accomplishments, just shoot us an email, any of us, Nicole or Faye or myself, and we'll make sure and include it. And then, you know, you don't have to try and remember in the course of the meeting or anything like that. We can mention it.
And we also have a Google form that you can submit them through. Up on the homepage, you can submit them directly through a form or through email, whatever's easiest for you. We just want to hear about the positive things as well. So, thanks. Okay. I see we have Orion in the room. If we want to go ahead and get a few minutes early on our governance report. They're not here yet. So
I think the faculty staff has we've started meeting as well.
Orion,
yeah.
Could you speak closely to the mic if you can? Just our people online have had some trouble.
How close is too close, I wonder. Okay, that's I can hear it now. Okay, so yeah, Faculty Center has actually started meeting. We have a ton on our plate this year. First thing we're looking at is definitely curriculum type issues. So we have a mandate from the Board of Regents to make sure that the core is the same at UAA, UAS, UAF. We've actually course are being taught under the new math course numbers, so we've actually aligned the course numbers, which has worked out well. Apparently, we have a plan for English alignment, and we're working on the process of sort of getting the everything else. So this would be, for example, UAS has O's and W's for oral and written requirements, communication requirements, and we're trying to figure out how to make those the same across campus. We're actually talking about sort of devolving those O's and W's to the department level, so departments would have to figure out if their students are actually getting the communication skills they need on the layout, and departments would be responsible for assessing that instead of making basically every student collect a certain number of O's and W's. So, but we're definitely trying to figure out exactly what the appropriate way to merge those is. In particular, the big tricky issue we're facing right now, there's different lists of sort of required courses. So this is the list of acceptable science courses at UAS. This is the list of acceptable, you know, you need a certain combination of humanities, for example. So there's really detailed rules at each campus. And we're trying to figure out how to make those uniform across the campuses. This has actually been kind of a long-running discussion on how do we make it where students get more of the stuff they're interested in and less of the stuff that they're just sort of, it doesn't really do anybody any good, I think, to force people to take a class that they
that no, you know, they don't want to take, and the it's really hard to teach a classroom of students that are really not interested in what you're trying to teach them. So we're actually looking more at a sort of classification list that we would have lots of courses listed in, for example, humanities. So if you'd like to take a studio art course, something you actually care about doing as your art requirement, that would be great, and I think that would be better for everybody probably than what we're doing now. So that's definitely ongoing, and we're sort of just at the initial stages figuring out how to realign that. So any comments you have there would be great. There's also a few policy updates we're looking at. So we have our bylaws to update. We have we're planning on going through the blue book used to evaluate faculty for promotion and tenure, and we're trying to figure out how to parse that out. We actually got some great tips a Google Doc from Trish sent us, so that's definitely worked. We're happy to see that, but definitely looking at more electronic communications and trying to make sure. So, for example, the December Board of Regents meeting coming up, that we have a clear plan for how we are going to communicate the stuff that we work on, because we're feeling like that's something we could do a better job of. University generally, just communicating with the legislature, with the Board of Regents, with the public at large, because we do lots of really interesting stuff, and we don't do a good job of sharing it, I think.
Great. Thank you, Orion. Leslie, a quick recap. He talked about the curriculum issues they're working on, the common requirements between the universities, and then a few policy issues, bylaws, promotion, and tenure. And a big thank you to Trish for her help with sharing the Google Doc tips. When we met with the chancellor or interim chancellor last week, he, coming from his Board of Regents perspective, said, one of the most important things he had to share was how important it was to kind of see different faces from the university up there and to hear from the groups about, what they're working on. And I think that's something that we're attempting to learn from faculty on as well, where generally during public comment, we'll see faculty members show up and say, here's the book I just published, here's a copy, or, here's the project we just did. And so we're attempting as staff to identify some of our, our big accomplishments on the staff side to share as well. But, he just stressed how much showing up in person when it's in your area to make that short little burst and say, here's what I'm working on from the ground level was really important. So again, to stress what Nate said in his report as well to staff, if you have anything to share with the board about what we're working on or cool things coming out of your area, that public comment is a great opportunity. Does anyone have questions for Orion?
I have one quick one. I applaud what you guys are doing as far as trying to make things consistent across the campuses. Is there, as well as making the numbering and that sort of thing work, is it also, at one campus the course is worth 3 credits and at Anchorage it's worth 4? Is that something being looked at also?
I mean, that's been a hard thing to determine, right? Because if it's going to be the same sort of number of credits for the core, we have to figure out some way to make those, to align those. So, yeah, that's definitely something we've been working on.
Thank you.
It's been complex, definitely.
Great. Any questions online for Orion from Faculty Senate?
I work with transfer credit and also with graduation, and all members of those units are really supportive of the math department and how well that process has gone. They have nothing but positive things to say about that whole realignment and how it's worked, and it's been very organized.
It's actually been surprisingly productive, I think. This is the one good thing about budget cuts, is that you are required to look at what you're doing and think about what works good and what doesn't. And that's it's actually been valuable. I mean, I think we've improved it.
Okay. Was there a question online, on the phone? Okay. Well, thank you very much, Orion. We appreciate you being here. All right, why don't we take a 10-minute break, or, you know, 8 minutes. Try and be back about 40 after, 9:40, and we'll move on into unfinished business. Thank you. Okay, thank you guys, and welcome back from break. Let's go ahead and dive into unfinished business. Item A is the staff mentoring interest survey.
Yeah, I can say something about that. So I'm not sure if I think Jessica might have had to step away from the hangout. She was on earlier as Jamie Warwick's proxy, but I think I saw that she left. As far as the, or you know, honestly, if there's anybody here that's on the advocacy committee that would like to say anything about the survey, that'd be fine too. The report, I think, just kind of points out that they brought it up, they discussed it. I think they're going to move forward with processing the information and using it to kind of design an initiative for mentoring. I think that's about it. It's there in the report. I think she'll be attached to the agenda.
Actually, I think this report is not attached to the agenda, but I'll give it verbally for them when we get to committee reports. Yeah.
Sure.
It was a bit of a late submission.
Yeah.
And then also we need a committee representative for the Parking Appeals Committee. This committee meets pretty infrequently, only a few times a year, but it is a place where we can have a representative, and it looks at, you know, if people get parking citations and choose to appeal them, it goes to a committee. It would be nice to have a staff person on that committee, potentially to serve as an advocate or just a reasonable head when needed. If we have any representatives who would be interested in serving in that committee, feel free to volunteer now.
Okay. I once had a parking appeal approved, so I think I will karmically pass it on by volunteering.
Great. Thank you very much, Brad. So you got that back. Okay, so diving now into our new business. We have motion 2015-264-1, approval of the 2016 staff council meeting schedule. So if you look at attachment 264-1, you can see the motion and the draft schedule. It continues with the Monday morning pattern, same time, same place as much as possible. And the motion reads, UAS Staff Council moves to adopt the following meeting schedule for 2016, which aligns with UAS Faculty Senate's meeting schedule, effective immediately. Rationale, meetings must be scheduled in advance in order to provide time for preparation and public posting of meeting information. Aligning meetings with Faculty Senate's meetings on the first Monday of the month provides UAS governance with cost savings. And then I'll also note as an aside that it also increases the likelihood of having the chancellor available in person when it's one day that he knows most of his meetings in Fairbanks are scheduled. So do I have a motion to adopt the motion? Do I have a motion?
I'll move.
Okay.
A second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
I was just trying to pull it up now, but it's probably too late. We compared this list already to the holidays for 2016. There's no holidays coming on any of those Mondays.
I did that.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, that's been done. So both Brandy and Nicole have looked at it for us. Okay. So any additional discussion, comments, questions? Any online? Okay, so we do need a vote on this one. So all in favor, say A.
A.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Thank you. All right, item B, motion 2015-264-2, motion to amend staff council bylaws, section 5, committees, including updating university advocacy membership and deletion of list of permanent committees, draft. And this is attached, and I believe this came from membership and rules. So, Trish, if you'd like to give some info.
Okay. It looks scarier than it is. All the red looks scary. Really, the only content change was the University Advocacy Committee requested to strike the wording to require a representative from the alumni and a representative from ASUAS, because that's never happened in the past anyway. There's never been a representative on the committee, and they didn't see that that was really necessary to have for that committee. So that's really the only content change. We struck Section 1 where it listed all the permanent committees in one spot, because then immediately it lists all the committees again and gives the explanation of each one. We felt like that was redundant and unnecessary to have in the bylaws. And we also moved up at the very bottom the section about chairpersons. We just moved that to the top because it seemed like a good lead-in. And then everything was renumbered accordingly. And, Nicole, I think I need to make – I had missed renumbering one of the things. Is that right? And so I need to ask for – I don't remember how to do this. I need to ask for a change to the motion, or is that – do we get it all in?
Yeah, we're missing a B.
B.
Right. 6B.
So in 6, I'd like to – I make a motion, correct?
I think first – so you've brought the motion to the floor.
Okay.
So I think we need a second.
Okay. I'll second.
I'll second this motion.
Okay. So now it's open for discussion. So if you move to amend it to renumber.
Okay. I would like to move to amend Section 6 to renumber or reletter, whatever, so that we struck B. And so what is currently C would become B, et cetera. Does that work?
Okay. Yep. Second? Okay. Brandy seconded. All right. So this, since it's a for the amendment, we can do just a normal vote. And then for the actual, to pass the actual change, we need a roll call vote, right? Okay. So all in favor of making that change, making that amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Amendment passes. So now we have the amended version to vote on. And because this is a change to the bylaws, it will require a roll call vote. Before we do that, are there any questions or other comments?
Are we doing is permanent committees?
Right, yeah.
The very top is A, permanent committees, and then B is at the ad hoc committee.
Okay.
Which was another change that we made because ad hoc committees was listed in the list of permanent committees, and so we felt that needed its own category because obviously being ad hoc, it's not a permanent committee. So we moved that out. We moved out ad hoc and external committee appointments from being a part of the permanent committees. Thank you for asking that question. I should have pointed that out. And just for background, this is just part of our continuing bylaws reviews that the Membership and Rules Committee has been doing.
So actually, I think maybe right underneath ad hoc committees, the first one, A1, it looks like the A hadn't been struck, but all the other little letters had been struck. I would entertain a motion to make that change.
I would move to strike the small A under ad hoc committee.
Okay. Second? Anyone? Thank you. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Hearing none, that one passes. So now we can move on to the roll call vote. Nicole?
Evelyn Pinscord.
Evelyn?
Okay, here.
Thanks. Do you approve? Evelyn? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, just a... Okay, thank you. So a yes or a no on the motion?
Yes.
Thank you.
Chad Olson?
Aye.
Leslie Walls?
Aye.
Melody Hughes? Allie Englert?
Aye.
Jessica DeRochers? Jesse Atencio? Sue Mitchell?
Aye.
Mercedes Anderson?
Aye.
Chris Brooks? Chris Brooks? No problem, thanks. Okay. Thank you, Melody. Jane Grossclose?
Aye.
Matthew Mund?
Aye.
Kim Eames? Susie Fry?
Aye.
Stacey Houdeshill?
Aye.
Samara Tabor? Brandy Marrero?
Aye.
Jessica Armstrong?
Aye.
Gina Jala? Jessica McCallum? Brad Crick?
Aye.
Janelle Merrifield?
Aye.
Phil Jacobs?
Aye.
Connie Huizenga? Selena Brown? Trish Winters?
Aye.
Jim Jones? Anybody whose name I didn't call? So 18-4-0 against 0 abstained.
So it passes. Great. Thank you. Thank you very much to the Membership and Rules Committee for their diligent cleanup of our bylaws. Nice to see another one down. So also from that industrious committee, we have a discussion about unit representation. So Trish, would you mind giving, again, kind of the lead-in to this, and then we can look at the attachment?
Sure. So currently, our staff council bylaws don't give direction on what happens if a staff council rep changes jobs, putting them into a different unit than the one they were elected to represent. Do they have to step down? Do we modify the bylaws to allow them to remain? With the continuing transitions the university is facing, we'd like to make a conscious decision on how we manage unit changes for staff council reps. We talked a little bit about the history of it in executive board, and my understanding is that each situation in the past has been handled as a one-off. Either finding ways within the current bylaws to retain the rep. I know in one case they said that they talked with someone who was a less involved rep and asked them if they wanted to retain their seat, and they opted to step down so that the person who got moved into the new unit was able to take that seat. But again, those are one-offs. And so we'd like to clarify and codify what the group would like to do as far as the chosen course of action, and put that into the bylaws to provide guidance in the future, especially in situations where there are no vacancies in the new unit. As far as precedents, the only thing that we had found in governance at UIF in other groups was Faculty Senate currently has an avenue for retaining their reps who change units, but we did not find any language about this in the bylaws of other governance groups, and there was some discussion in our M&R group about the different the faculty has. It's a very different situation. So the question that we have for the group is, you know, we want to have a discussion, get some feedback, and see what direction staff council would like to go. Do we ask serving reps to step down from staff council if they have a job change that puts them into a new unit? Or do we want to modify the bylaws to allow the rep to stay on staff council until the next election for their new unit? And so what we propose to do is have some discussion about this, have some of our committee members talk about some different points that we discussed in our meeting that are important to think about, as far as making sure that we have equal representation, the importance of being elected to your position, and also the importance of rural staff and making sure that they are well represented. So then I'd like to have a simple vote.
Is really what we'd want to do, you know. But of course, there are nuances and subtleties there. You know, for example, there are units that are so big that, practically speaking, you may not be interacting with your whole unit, which is in some ways it's a separate problem. But it's connected to this because if you're in a small unit, then sure, you know all those people. But in a bigger unit, practically speaking, you're already separated from them. But that is sort of for me the biggest issue is I think our bylaws, again, with the exception of the at-large, is unit-focused. And I think it's more fair to come back to that unit and say, you know, now who in your unit should be your representative since this person's moved. Another quick practical reason is sometimes when people move units, they do tend to leave council. Sometimes people want to stay and look for ways that they can be appointed to an alternate seat or come in as proxies. But often changing jobs means you're doing other things, you're going to be busy for a while learning that new job. So practically speaking, I don't know how many people would make use of it. Certainly some people would. And then the final concern I have with this is... Oh, it just escaped me. I'm sorry. Oh, yes. We have elections coming up. And even if your unit is not up for election in this year, one could run as an at-large rep or could serve as a proxy for if, you know, the new unit is full, but a person wanted to stay involved in council, they could go to their unit reps and say, hey, if you can't make a meeting, I will go as proxy. And then, of course, they can still participate on committees and they can come here as a member of the public. So I just don't see that changing a job just totally shuts someone out of council. I think there are still opportunities to be involved, and odds are they can get back on council pretty quickly.
So thank you, Brad. That was a good recap. So our M&R committee was evenly split. And so kind of the other side of the coin was, if somebody is a very active staff council, a committee member, and they've been working hard and they're on a committee, which in the past has sometimes been an issue trying to get people to serve on committees, even though that is a requirement of being a staff council rep. If you have someone who's active like that, especially with the transitions that university might be facing, do we really want to penalize that person by saying, yes, you switched to a different job and now you're out? So it seems a pity to lose really active reps. And so that's kind of why we looked at other governance, and Faculty Senate said, you've been elected to that seat, you just continue to serve your term until your term expires, and then you're up for election. I don't know exactly how it works. But anyway, you continue to serve your term. There's some other language in the Faculty Senate as far as having somebody else who serves with you then and that kind of thing, but it was less applicable to our situation. And we talked about some different avenues of ways to change the bylaws to keep people, and we wanted to ensure that, you know, a big concern was rural reps. Everyone knows, everyone here can be easier to say, oh, I know so-and-so, they're so active, it's very important to keep them here. And they might not know rural reps as well, so then they might, you know, we want to make sure that any steps we take, if we choose to make an avenue to keep people, that it doesn't disadvantage anyone who's a rural rep or interested in being a rural rep. Ali, can you think of anything else that we discussed?
So my argument on this was, I feel like when you switch jobs, you don't just lose your institutional knowledge of the unit, and your peers obviously thought that you either ran yourself or you were nominated for the seat to represent the unit. So there's obviously confidence bestowed on you by your peers, and I don't think that it's necessarily fair that the unit be penalized, that because you chose to move jobs, either because of budget cuts or professional growth or anything, that the unit therefore has one less rep. And I think that that we could probably do a compromise where first we have to see if the member wants to stay, because as Brad mentioned, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on when you're switching jobs. And if they have been active and if they do want to stay, then I feel like they can still represent the unit until the next election cycle. So even if we go over by, the number of representatives between elections would not change unless one decreased. It's not like we're going to have additional representatives running around. So I feel like we should, number one, ascertain if they want to stay in the unit, if they want to stay off staff council, and if so, if they feel like they would be okay representing the prior unit until the next election cycle, at which time they could put their name in the hat for an at-large rep or represent their new unit.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
So 2 years, in my mind, is much too long to be serving or representing a unit you are no longer working. And so I'd like to see some form of a time limit on this if we approve this at all.
Okay, thank you, Chris. And just to clarify, and Matthew, I'm going to ask for your input in just a second. Just to clarify, a little bit we're mixing whether we should make a way for them to stay with how would we have them stay. So we don't know yet if we're going to talk about having, if anybody wants to work on a way for them to stay, then we would say, would they stay representing the same unit? Would they become an at-large? Would we allow some extra at-large seats or something like that? That would be a separate, that's a separate conversation. So we want to make sure that we look at this one. But I'd like to also have our MNR committee member, Matthew Mund, have a chance to speak up to you because you were there in our discussion and very active. Thank you.
So from my perspective, I saw on both sides. I definitely, for us as a body, we just need to decide if we want to, if somebody changes and they're no longer in their unit, and it's just black and white, and they just no longer serve, and we would have to decide if we need, like, a special election, depending on when that happened, to refill that seat. The other side of it is, do we want a mechanism to allow them to stay in some sort of capacity other than just a general member of the staff who would come and serve on a committee, but that would be about it. And wouldn't have any kind of voting powers or anything. So it's kind of a fundamental thing, and I could see both sides of it, even though I was leaning towards that it's just unfortunate they did change. And, you know, it's just kind of, we would have to decide, the executive board would have to decide what to do with that position at that point. The mechanism part got really messy, and so it just was a lot of different options that were floating around, and I guess as a body, we just need to decide which one that we would rather do.
I want to apologize. I should have clarified at the beginning because to us it seems so obvious what the bylaws say right now is the rules, but I thought I really should have probably started out with, guess what, you know, what the bylaws say right now. So, I don't have them memorized, so anybody feel free to jump in and help me get it straight. But with the way it is right now, if a unit rep steps down from their unit, the executive board or president and vice president can select another person from that unit to serve. So if somebody volunteers to serve for that unit, then it can be agreed on by our leadership, and they can say they can appoint them to that position mid-election cycle. At the moment, the bylaws do not have that same thing for at-large seats. So at the moment, at-larges can only be filled during election cycles. So there's two at-large seats that are coming up in this election, and there's three at the next one. Well, I know there's two and three. I don't know if they all are coming up right now because actually it's a two-year term. One is, Nicole?
Seats number two and four.
Okay, they are coming up on this one. Thank you. So, did that clarify?
Okay.
Yeah.
One other thing that's germane is the elections committee has as a job duty, because the elections chair is also, the elections chair and the president approve possible vacancy, someone to fill a vacancy. And one of the responsibilities of the elections committee is to find people to fill vacancies. But practically speaking, that's been really hard, and I don't think we've ever, you know, in my time on staff council, it's not been something that's seemed to have worked really well. We don't fill vacancies except insofar as I think someone goes to a colleague and says, hey, you'd be great on council. Why don't you come join?
Thank you. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I would bring up the point as well, to kind of along those lines, that philosophically, I think we should be trying to not make barriers for people who want to participate fully or partially or whatever. I mean, it's all well and good to say, you know, you can just be a general staff member, which means you can participate on committees, but you don't get to vote. I think we need to try to make it as easy for participation as we can. I mean, it's important to have rules about that and to make sure that there's not exploitation happening, but you know, if a person is already serving, we should try to find ways to not take that away from them, in my opinion.
We have two coming up for election in the fall. We don't have any vacancies currently in at-large seats, though. So not now.
Oh, we do. We do?
There's one vacancy in seat four. And then any seat that is vacated during the first year of a term goes up for special election at the following election.
What happens when you get a new person who is, you have a state of staff council, and they've recently elected, you were
Yeah, I think that is. Hey, so would it help if I went ahead and... I'm sorry, Matthew.
Sorry.
That is exactly what our committee is. We're really just trying to get a direction from the group is if we're interested in pursuing this or not. Because we just got bogged down with, well, is South Council even interested in allowing people to serve after they change units? So that's really the fundamental question we're just answering today. How to do it, the committee will hash through and then come back with if we end up looking like South Council is interested in expanding that.
And actually, and I was going to ask Faith this. Thank you, Matthew. I was going to ask if it would maybe be helpful. So what we were going to do is we were actually going to do two votes today, potentially. The first one, the simple vote, should we make it so that they just step down, or should we make a way for them to stay? And then if people voted, yes, we do want them to stay, then we would look at side two that I brought, which is three potential options that we had come up with in our M&R committee meeting, and also entertain suggestions from other folks. Based on time, so if we didn't have time, I would just move this over to a Google Doc, do a survey outside of the staff council meeting. So I don't know if it would be helpful for people if I just run through the three options that we came up with.
Yeah, maybe let's do that really quickly and then take the first vote. We're due to have the chancellor's remarks any moment now, depending on when he arrives. So,
okay, then I'll just briefly go over the three options that we had come up with, not that these are the only options. The first is to adapt faculty senate wording to have the rep serve out their term. For instance, representatives should serve out the terms to which they are elected. If the representative is no longer affiliated with the unit from which they were elected, they would serve to the end of their term. So that's, in essence, what faculty senate says is just drop down a little piece about having an extra person serve with them. So that's number one. Number two was to retain the rep in a floating at-large status until the next election for their new unit. So in other words, even though we have five seats that are elected, anyone who moved out of their unit would just become an additional at-large. But it wouldn't become a seat that would then be elected to in the future. It would just be a temporary position so that that person can stay on staff council until there's an opening that they could get elected into. Third option is to have, just as it is with the units, have the president and election chair can appoint someone to a vacant at-large seat. But there were some concerns that we kind of aired already up in the considerations part of the document. Just, again, concern for rural reps and maintaining equal representation for all units. So those are the three that we had developed. But, of course, we're open to a lot more. So if we could do the simple vote, and then we can take this offline, and I can put together a survey and send it out to everyone as far as options, if the group wants to look at options for retaining that unit rep.
Great. Thank you, Trish. Let's actually put this conversation on hold for a few minutes, if you guys don't mind. We'll go ahead and have Interim Chancellor Powers' remarks. And then, Chris Brooks, I saw your comment. So when we return to this discussion after the Chancellor's remarks, we'll start with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good, thank you, Faye. So I know Faye and Nate, I know Jane. Could we just do a quick introduction? Going around the table, and how many are online?
We have quite a few online, actually. So you can see some of their faces and photos down there, but
roughly 10,
more or less. Yeah.
If you don't mind, that would be helpful to me. Could I start to my left? Oh, very good.
Mercedes Anderson. I think I'm Unit 6, Gold Fisheries and Ocean Sciences.
I'm Ella Ingrid. I'm with Unit 3, and I'm representing. I work in the College of Engineering at Mines.
Trish Winters. I'm an at-large rep. I work at the power plant.
Brad Crick. I represent the Rasmussen Library.
So
Sue Mitchell. I'm with the Geophysical Institute.
Jessica Armstrong. I represent Unit 10, and I work for CNSM. Stacy. Stacy Houdeshell with Unit 9, Academic Advising Center.
Brandy Marrero. I work for the Office of the Provost, and I represent the Chancellor's Unit.
I'm Janelle Merrifield, and I work for OIT.
I'm Matthew Mund. I represent Unit 7, Student Services, and I work within Residence Life.
Hi, I'm Jane Grossclose. I represent Unit 7, and I work in the Office of Admissions and Register.
Thank you. I'm Nicole Dufour. I work for Staff Council on the Admin.
Our priceless admin. We wouldn't be able to do anything without Nicole, I'm afraid. So, folks online,
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chris Michael. I'm acting as task president on Press Council, but work for OIT.
Thank you. Okay.
Very good.
This is Greg Brooks. I'm with the School of Engineering.
Thank you. Can't come off as a budget, but well, who was that?
Oh, was that Susie from the Office of the Vice Chancellor for Research?
Oh, okay. Very good. Got it. Thank you, Susie.
Did we get Melody? Melody, did you introduce yourself?
Anybody else?
Oh, we do have one caller on the phone as well. Evelyn? Oh, did we lose you, Evelyn? Okay. Sorry.
Well, thank you very much for taking time just to get an idea of the people involved, and I'll talk a little bit about shared governance here in a moment. But let me just introduce myself, take a few minutes about where I hope to head this next year, and then a couple of philosophies, and open up to any questions that may be helpful at this point. Mike Powers, I've been in the community 30 years. I was in Anchorage, originally came to Alaska in 1980 with the VISTA program as a newspaper reporter for the Senior Voice newspaper. Met my wife, went out to back to Wisconsin, where I'm from, for a program in health administration, and a fellowship out in Richmond, Virginia, and a job was opening in Fairbanks with, at the time, Lutheran Health Systems. And so we immediately said there were about five other opportunities, Dallas and Richmond and Chicago and places like that, but we had an opportunity to get back to Alaska. And so we jumped on that, came back, thinking, like many Fairbanksans, okay, we'll be here 2 years. And 30 years later and three children later, we're still here and we're committed to the community. It's been a fantastic experience from a number of perspectives. One is as a emerging health system, health setting, we're able to bring new services to the community, cardiology and cancer therapy and behavioral health and some important services. So you felt like you were making a difference. But as we looked around, one, we're coming back to Alaska, and that was key, first and foremost. Two, it was a healthcare opportunity. And three, it was a university town. And I think that the University of Alaska Fairbanks is the jewel of Fairbanks in many, many respects. And over the course of time, we've taken, all of our children have taken classes, certainly all the various camps, the concerts, the lectures. As a hospital, we did a lot of recruiting of physicians and would always send them up here to talk with various people. And the resources the university brings to the community. So we're strong supporters. Opportunity came up to throw my hat in the ring for the Board of Regents a number of years ago, and I've been on the Board of Regents for 4 years. I had to resign that position to take this interim chancellor role. So when it became available, I stepped down from the Regents, and this will be the first meeting on Thursday and Friday of this week where I'm not on the Regents, but on the other side with Chancellor Case and Chancellor Caulfield. Great initiatives, challenges on the Regents. One of the things that emerged, I think, over the last 4 years is clearly the Shaping Alaska's Future, and the interest the Regents have shown in that, in particular partnerships with Alaskan schools, and the whole area of advising students. Some pretty remarkable statistics over the last 6 years, or I should say strong statistics relative to retention and graduation rates increasing relative to our peers, and a lot of that is attributed to this advising function. So that's something that's really discussed nationally, and I think that UAF has done a very good job with it. But that's my personal history. My wife, I just retired from the hospital after 30 years in July, and President Gamble had said we really need the faculty and staff on contract back to go through that full year-long search. I know one of the interests is staff involvement in that search, and you certainly will be a big part of that. For the permanent position, Kari Burrell will have that up, working with President Jim Johnson. And my hope is that is completed by May 31st. In fact, it's one of the top goals for me in this 10-month period. What can I accomplish? What can I be helpful with for the university? And that search is key in freeing up the time and having the broad representation needed on that search. It'll be a national search, but I certainly hope there's someone in Alaska who will be a natural fit. And as I look at some of the talent over the years, the Dana Thomases and the Dan Whites and some of the faculty members I know both here and in Anchorage, I certainly hope there would be an Alaskan. But not to bias the process too much, we'll see what happens. I certainly know what happens at the hospital when you find Alaskans who step into roles. They do a fantastic job. They know what 40 Below is in Fairbanks. They're committed to the community. It's not just an exciting opportunity for a year or two, but they're really interested in advancing the community and the state. So my number one goal really is to help with that search. Two is to support this FY17 budget that will be subject of conversation at the Regents meeting. In particular, is a number one capital priority, the completion of that engineering building is number one. But capital will be scarce, but even if we can get that top floor completed, that would be a great opportunity. So that's high on the agenda. One, again, advance the chancellor search. Two is support the budget process, both operationally and the capital side. Three is the whole area of a culture of safety and personal responsibility, and you're hearing a lot about that through Title IX and the Office of Civil Rights Compliance. That's a big issue for all campuses across the U.S. as we change with evolving Title IX standards and the good learning environment. So that will be key. And then strong communities, continue the communities or connections with the community, legislators, business, education, civic, and let them know the incredible work that's being done here. Obviously, the research, the changing, advancing graduation rates, retention rates, the resources here, the importance of the university as an engine for the state, and from a research side, I was at a lecture this summer up here, or maybe it was late spring, and when that Arctic view of the globe was shown, or the strategic location of Alaska from that Arctic perspective, you quickly realize how critical Alaska is to the whole development of that high northwest passage, and the impact on ports and homeland security and transportation and sustainability. Obviously, I want to help the Fairbanks and the Alaskan community, and frankly beyond that, to emphasize our strategic location in that. Area. So that's a little bit of the personal history and goals. The other thing I'd like to emphasize is the role of shared governance. It's interesting, having been on the Regents, a lot of business people, and not necessarily perspectives coming from the shared governance world. In healthcare, shared governance is very much a part of how we operate traditionally, always has been, very similar to the world of academics. The three-legged stool in a hospital would be the medical staff, and the corollary would be the faculty and staff. The students, and the corollary would be the patient, and then admin. And so that three-legged stool of admin, patients, medical staff is the same as admin, faculty, staff, and students. And systems, improvements, learning occurs when those three elements come together in the planning of an event. And number one, as I mentioned, is this search process, and so you'll be very active in that for the permanent chancellor. But I believe in shared governance, and I come from a culture that I think added services because of the collaborative effort of those three parties working together. I know that this particular group's interested in talking with Faye and Nate, the review and grievance procedures, the involvement in the search, the volunteer day, the mentor initiative, and performance evaluations are top on your list. Again, all very important initiatives that make for a better working environment, and we're committed to that. So that's just a quick overview. A couple observations. Having been in town this long, it's absolutely fun walking across the campus, and if you don't know a faculty member or a staff member, I certainly know police officers who went to school with my kids, or students who are friends of my kids, and it's just a lot of fun recognizing a lot of faces and names, and I've really enjoyed myself. Been here 2 weeks now. I did spend most of August helping out, but trying to get up to speed, but been on the job 2 weeks. Do you have any questions or observations or comments or suggestions on how I can be successful in 10 months that you would like to see accomplished? And that's for anybody online as well.
Hi, this is Liz Siddle. I am extremely happy to hear that you're support the staff in a way we can. The staff advocacy committee is really working hard on the staff all survey. It's pretty critical to what our students are really powerful, not only the faculty and the students of the university are students, but the staff as well.
Appreciate the comment. So if I have, I've spoken to the chamber already in the Rotary group. If I, and I will, I'll have plenty of opportunities. Any particular message you would like emphasized as I talk about the staff to community groups or legislators? When I talk about shared governance, I'll be sure to talk in terms of both faculty and staff and emphasize the role of the staff. Absolutely critical to the shared governance. And the volunteer day is a great idea. We'll see what happens as that unfolds. Talked with Nate and Faye about that just last week, and I know it's high on your agenda. Okay.
To carry on with the messages you could carry forward, Chris, I think as Leslie said, it's always important to reinforce the message that we are their constituents as well. We're also the people that these groups represent or serve, that we're not just because we work for the university, this bubble group
right.
tacked onto the side. But also, to me, at least the real value with staff and in shared governance is that we are generally the frontline workers. I know faculty touch students directly and in an incredibly impactful way, but staff do as well, whether it's the first person you see when you check in to your residence hall the very first day, the people who direct you to the resources you need, who administer the services that kind of get you through the day, who get you your books at the library, just any of these things, the advising, as you mentioned, that are really critical to student success. And to the responsible function of a university, that really they're these kind of big, broad functions that you can see from the eagle eye view. Once you get down into the kind of day-to-day staff level, the ground level, you're really getting a much more nuanced and detailed view and understanding of how these things play out and what the impacts are. So.
Another area that I hear quite a bit about, or did this past couple years, as admissions would send faculty members up, and they would meet with admissions staff, and admissions always gets glowing comments.
Yeah.
And I know that whole process has improved considerably too, getting students through in just a day or so.
Yeah.
I think from my perspective that when Chancellor Rogers would come and give his little spiel, the communication he would bring to this group was invaluable. Like, it's just a level of nothing was ever too small or too big, or it was just always kind of a conversation was going on. We felt very included in what was going on, and that kind of communication, because then we communicate down to not only our own departments, but our units, and just kind of knowing that your little kind of 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 2 minutes, staff council once a month is huge for us.
Okay.
And it's a really big avenue of information for us of what's going on that level.
Good. As you know, Faye and Nate and I will meet beforehand. And I'll make sure any issues or concerns that you have, be sure to bring forward so I can not drop anything that may be too large or too small, as you say.
I would hope that you'd have time to just come up to the West Ridge and
visit all the different units. I know it's a big campus and there's a lot of people, but I'd encourage you to, you know, wander around and meet people and get to know the campus as best you can, because there's an awful lot going on and it doesn't all get showcased in executive committee meetings.
Well said. So I've asked, as I've met with faculty, but the deans and directors, if I can get into any classes, any gatherings, I'm all for it. I'll fill out my schedule just in the classroom, in various conferences, what have you, on the West Ridge, in that particular case. In fact, I have a higher diploma. It's called Masters in Irish Literature, and I already have an invitation to an English class. So I'm Joyce, so I'm looking forward to it. Yes.
I think kind of going back to the previous conversation as far as messages from staff or about staff, I think we sometimes feel like the invisible part of the university, that every time there's cuts that come up, everyone's like, faculty and students are the important part. So what are all these people, these other people? And, you know, I'm with facility services. So there's a lot of things that are behind the scenes, weekends, nights, a lot of work that goes on that feels, I think some of the staff members feel a little bit invisible and a little bit unappreciated when the money starts being talked about and it's like, well, we should just cut staff. So it sometimes feels like staff gets targeted as the unimportant part. And that's maybe partly perception, but it could help to be aware of that and find ways to give a message that you are really a valued part of the whole picture, as well as faculty and students.
Well taken.
I have a related comment. I think a lot of times people in general, especially outside the university and just in industry in general, like to think in terms of metrics. And so they hear, okay, this is how much money there is to be cut. What's that translate when it comes to jobs? And so the automatic response is to convert that to a metric in staff positions. And I don't know that there's a way to get away from that. I know Chancellor Rogers said a couple times, you know, he would say, well, that's the equivalent of 200 positions, but we're looking into other ways of doing that that don't involve, you know, he would give the metric because that's what people kept asking for, but I don't know if there's a way to change the perception of metrics.
Just a comment. The world, as you're suggesting, is moving to metrics. I remember last spring I got in a cab, got to the airport on Alaska Airlines. There's a survey. Get to Seattle, there was a survey. On to Phoenix, another Alaska Airlines survey. In a cab in Phoenix, there's a survey. Hotel has a survey. Dinner has a survey. Start back, survey. Got back to Fairbanks, got the cab home. I didn't get a survey in the cab on the way home. And everything turned into a metric. And that's what, in these meetings with the healthcare, that's what everything is measured by this metric, Jane, as you're saying. We in Alaska are outside, and I know it well. I was constantly trying to educate people about the fact that we didn't outsource housekeeping or laundry or dietary or different functions, and so our metrics are different. And out of that came a very loyal and engaged staff at the hospital. It was a painful process over and over and over again. But the one thing are some of the anecdotes on why it is unique, or the special weather issues. Most Alaskans understand that in Fairbanks. But anything you have that helps put some color into those metrics that you can get to me, that I can use in my presentations with legislators, with the various chamber and rotaries, et cetera, I'm all ears. You know, this move-in day was incredible, the response in the the embrace of staff with all these new students coming, there was a perfect example of added value that is not measured necessarily in a metric. I'm sure there was considerable overtime and extra pay, but it was a warm embrace for new students coming to be part of the community. Anyway, that's what I would suggest and ask anything you have that is above and beyond. Here's a very quick story again. Pardon me, the last thing you want is the constant comparison to healthcare. I know that falls on deaf ears. We had a patient, a Korean War vet, disheveled, clothes are in a heap in the hospital. He went down for a MRI scan. When he came back, his clothes had been thrown out. He had big tears in his eyes. And he explained that his belt buckle was his unit's belt buckle. And it was thrown out. The housekeeper, the head of housekeeping, heard about this, went out to the landfill, knew where the blue bags were, went through that blue bag dump of garbage for the day and found those clothes, found that belt buckle, brought it back to the guy. So there's above and beyond, right? That's my healthcare equivalent. I know that's going on. I know that's going on in this university. Now, it may not be a belt buckle at the dump, but it's some great embrace and making people feel welcome in the uniqueness of this campus. Get those stories to me or up to Debbie Queen or to Michelle Renfer or whoever it may be so I can tell those stories. That's the advocacy part I want to provide in the community.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
It was great to get to hear a little bit more about you and to have this first talk with the group. I think I'm going to wrap it up now. Just there are a few more things to get to. But again, thank you so much, and we'll see you in a month.
See you next month and see you around. And introduce yourself again when we pass one another. Just say hello and remind me, and I'll get it eventually.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. So we're just going to have one quick minute. Nicole's trying to reconnect the phone for Evelyn. Or I guess I thought that would be a louder process. Okay. All right. Thanks for hanging in there, guys. So getting back to the unit representative discussion that we were having before the Chancellor's remarks, Chris Brooks, did you have some comments you'd like to share?
Yes, I did. Can I hear you okay?
Great.
All right. I personally believe that this is a topic we should take up. Probably examine further. I don't believe that pretty much with Chris and Brad on this, I don't think that someone that goes to another, at a different area or different job, that they should remain permanently or to return rather than go to a particular. As far as the at-large is concerned, I think it should be the same as well.
The only thing, I understand how we want to change the people who are active and things of that nature within the council and a part of that very council. If anything, I could see possibly having a seat or two, probably about 10 available for just sort of this for this sort of thing. And that would be more sense to me. But leaving them in the same position when they move to another job, it's almost like being a senator from Louisiana.
Great. Okay, so I think, going back to the simple question, the first simple question that the committee brought to us is, do we want to pursue a way to keep representatives involved in staff council as a representative when they move seats? And then, which would then mean, do we want them to look at some different options for us and bring to the next meeting some other ways that we could retain representatives? Or do we believe that if a representative moves jobs, moves to a different unit, they should just either figure out a way through the limited channels we have now, or they should just stop serving? So that simple question, look for a way to retain representatives with a change to the bylaws, or make no changes to the bylaws, keep the process as is. Does that sum it up?
Yes.
Okay. So just so that we can actually get a count here, because I think there's, I doubt this one will be unanimous, why don't we, folks on the Hangout, if you could just type into the chat, yes, to find a new way, or no, to leave things as they are. And Evelyn, if you can hear me, same thing, yes, to find a new way, no, to keep things as they are. And then in the room, a show of hands for yes. Yes, find a new way. Okay, thank you. And no, leave things as they are. Thank you. Did you put them? Okay. Okay, so we had 5 for no and 11 for yes. So we will ask the, and one more no. So 6 for no, 11 for yes. So I will ask the Membership and Rules Committee to continue looking at some of those options for ways to potentially retain representatives when they move, and to bring us some more detail on the options that you first included and then any others you come up with. And I would encourage anyone who has suggestions about ways to do this to contact that committee, either Trish or any of the other members on the committee with your ideas. And we can take this up again at our next meeting. So thank you all very much. Next item, staff council calendar photo discussion. So we're still trying to figure out if we have a budget to do a printed calendar this year. We know it's something that people really love and that we get asked about all the time. I think we can also probably agree that it's not the most critical function of staff governance. Brad's making skeptical faces.
No, I don't disagree that it's not the most critical, but I think it is the most asked about.
Yes, certainly. But yeah, I think when we're deciding how to allocate our resources for the coming year, being able to maintain a phone conference line for the reps who don't have a good internet connection, or some of the other things that we have to spend money on, it's a little lower down the food chain. So Nicole's looking into some options, and will let us know when we have a budget, a better sense of our budget about printing, or if there are potential partnerships where we might be able to get a sponsored printing or something along those lines. Who knows? But in the meantime, whether we do a printed or digital only, the question every year is what photo we use for the cover print.
We have a couple of options. We have quite a few photos that were submitted quite some time ago that we can go back through. I think in exec board somebody mentioned just asking for photos from staff council directly, or seeing we can ask for photos from all staff.
So the way we did it last year for selecting the photos was once we had a group of photos to choose from that met the requirements of, you know, high enough resolution, right size, all that, I think, you know, Nicole put out a form for us to vote on that had the picture, and you could either rate it or just say, this is the one I want. So it's just right now trying to figure out how do we get that pool of photos, use the existing one, solicit new ones from the people we represent, from our units, or send out a university-wide, staff-wide call asking for more submissions. Any thoughts?
I would say the wider net you can cast, the better, and ask all staff for submissions.
Yeah. Brandy?
How many do we currently have to choose from?
It depends on how big the calendar ends up being. The smaller the calendar, we have a few more to pick from, because a lot of the photos that we get have very, very low resolution.
Oh, okay.
So we
usually end up filtering down through several dozen even to come up with like 6 to 10 to choose between.
Okay.
But there's usually a pretty initial filtering process that happens.
I think from last year there were probably about 15 that fit the resolution we were looking for. But that could increase since we're not going to be printing the calendar at the size it was to begin with.
I think it's so good to solicit from the current staff that there's some feeling of involvement.
Okay. So maybe what we can do is we'll do the staff-wide ask all staff for submissions, but we can put a pretty tight turnaround on it as well so that people who feel passionately about it can do so, but also that might keep us from being overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, stipulating as always the requirements for the photo. So, is that Vanessa? You need anything else on that one? Okay, cool. All right, so last item under new business. At our last meeting, Colby from ASUAF talked about the services ASUAF provides to students. And we said, wow, we'd love to share those with our staff so that they can help get them to students. So we have, as an attachment, a flyer from ASUAF listing some of their services that would be great if we could share this with our units and get it out there. And then also in the back of the room, there's a stack of magnets for you guys to take that has similar information from ASUAS. So if you want to take them, share them in your units, put them up, especially in the units that have a lot of contact directly with students, I'd encourage you to grab some first. But I think many of us have students in one way or another that we interact with. You know, even in my budget world, we have student employees who it's great to be able to direct them to the right resources. So, and folks online, you've got that attachment on the agenda as well. Okay, yeah, and Nicole left this one without a header so that you can just print off more copies of it or hang it up as is without a header on it.
So if we print off more copies, I just noticed that looks like their URL is spelled StudNet.
StudNetGov.org.
So I'm guessing that's a typo and not intentional. So it may be, if you print out copies, it may be worth checking that and possibly correcting it before you do it.
You might get a different website. You go to StudNetGov.org.
Okay. So StudentGov.org, we suspect.
I'll let ASUAF know.
Yeah.
And I'll get you a new copy of the flyer.
Thank you. Okay, so really quickly on the internal committee report,
for university advocacy. Jamie's not here, and the report came in a little late, so it's not attached to your agenda. So just some highlights from their meeting. They discussed the staff mentoring survey and suggestions for moving ahead with that. Who else to involve, how to organize it, basically some of the outcomes from the survey. So it sounds like that's an ongoing discussion. Then staff tours and or brown bag lunch series. If you've been here long enough, we used to have kind of campus tours fairly regularly where on your lunch break you could go get a tour of campus, the botanical gardens, and the research facilities, kind of different cool things to see what's going on campus and what we have. Looking at maybe revitalizing those or potentially some ground bag lunch seminars for staff members. Some other questions through healthy roads and workplace wellness that they want to get more information about. And then looking towards implementation for a volunteer day. So if you have anything that touches on that or thoughts on those things, I would encourage you to either go to the next staff advocacy meeting or university advocacy meeting or contact Jamie. If you need help with either of those, you can talk to Nicole. Then I see Trish attached a written report, so if you don't mind, we'll just go with the written one. Chris Brooks, did you have any quick oral report you'd like to do for rural affairs? Thank you, Chris. All right, so if we can turn off the recording, we'll move to roundtable.